What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. What's up, what's up? Thank you so much for joining me. And today we are here with Dr. Caroline. Hello, Dr. Caroline. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, so good. I am so excited to be chatting with you today. We're going to be talking about boundaries, self-love, and honestly, wherever else this conversation goes, as the listeners know, we tend to go in all directions at times on this podcast, which is totally fine. But for those of you who don't know Caroline, she is a female entrepreneur. And for almost a decade, she's empowered women in the mental health field and is now doing that through coaching, which is really cool. She helps women entrepreneurs that are overwhelmed from balancing their businesses, their family, their health, to being in control of making all of their decisions, the relationships they nurture, and most of all, taking care of themselves without guilt, which I love because it totally falls under the concept of having it all, because I totally believe we can have it all. We can have the family, the business, the relationships, the health, all the things. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share on that. But firstly, I would love for you to share a little bit more of your personal story. Like, who are you? What are you into? How'd you get here?
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my story, I started out in the field of psychology in undergrad, and I loved it. I kind of fell into it. That wasn't really the track I was originally going on, but I ended up getting a college cheerleading scholarship, and that's how that unfolded. So after I graduated college, I went for my master's, my doctorate in marriage and family therapy I specialized in, and I loved it. I loved the idea of the human mind and human behavior, but I always believe in like a higher power, and I'm a very spiritual person. To begin with, I have a lot of friends that are shaman healers or psychics or just very in tune with their mind and body. And that's something that has represented me from the beginning of time. Right. So after I graduated, I was working in the field of psychology. And like I said, I loved it. I worked with couples, families. Couples were my favorite, just like the dynamics of the relationships and how that unfolds. And I think we all play a part in every relationship we have, whether it's romantic or friendships or business. Especially business, because I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs on here.
Yeah.
But for me, I got to this point throughout my career, I was really getting burnt out. I was exhausted. I was giving so much to everyone else. I like forgot to put myself on the priority list towards the end, and it really started to take a toll on my mind and body. I was losing way too much weight. My teeth started cracking from stress, like in the back. I didn't even know. My hair was falling out. It was a very interesting experience for me because I knew something needed a change. And it's almost, I didn't have like a spiritual awakening, but something similar to that where everything in my life started to spiral of like, wait a minute, I need to take a step back and reevaluate what's happening here. And so towards my last year of practicing, which was almost 3 years ago now, I just started processing, okay, what do I need to do? I started journaling. I started meditating. I really brought in that spiritual aspect into my life. Like I said, I was surrounded by a lot of spiritual individuals too. So they would just kind of direct me and show me different ways and approaches. And with being able to really meditate and kind of ask the universe, like, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? And it came to me after having a great conversation with one of my good friends of coaching. And I was like, well, like coaching's so different than therapy, like therapists don't coach. And it was this inner conflict for a while. And through that, I realized, okay, new game plan. I was in California at the time. I decided to move back to Florida and start my coaching business. And from there, it just morphed. And now it is what it is today. But I think all of the things I focus on with my clients have happened to me, and I've overcome them. And it's such a beautiful journey, and everyone's journey is so different. That's what I love about it. But being able to really hone in on, okay, what are your priorities? And that's where the boundaries and self-love are like imperative in my business and for myself. Because if you don't take care of you, you can't take care of anyone else. Like there's nothing left if you're not taking care of you.
Yeah. I love that. And I mean, I feel like this conversation of self-love is like so important and self-care and everything. I always feel like I've had like a really interesting perspective on it as well. And I think in like different areas of my life, I've definitely like felt that as well. So like, for example, I've been always like, I really gotta have it all kind of mentality, right? Like I didn't think that I would have to sacrifice my relationship for my business. And I wasn't willing to do that either. You know what I mean? But I also wasn't willing to sacrifice the success that I could have for my relationship. I was like, no, I want both thriving. And it's so funny because now that I'm a mom, I'm a brand new mom, by the way, super new. And I've always had this kind of like weird mental complex with the idea of being a mom. Like just even saying that out loud was like, I don't resonate, you know, like I just don't get it. I don't know. But it's interesting because actually I'm naturally a super nurturing person. I'm very feminine. Like I actually, in terms of like being a mother, I'm a very good like vibe for momhood, right? But there was kind of like this complex where we see a lot like in parenting, there's a lot of talk about sacrificing for your kids, and that just never vibed with me. I was just like, no, like I don't want to sacrifice for my kids, and I don't also want my kids to suffer for that either. Like I want us both to be thriving. So it's been interesting navigating it so far. My sister made a comment the other day because I sent her like a Snapchat video of me like trying to eat a piece of toast off a plate with like one hand while like holding my sleeping baby that I didn't want to wake. And she's like, haha, sacrificing the way you eat. And I was like, no, I'm getting creative. I'm not sacrificing. I'm not sacrificing shit. Like, yeah, anyway, that's just a little side tangent. But I feel like this is a really good conversation to be having right now because I totally feel you. It's so important.
Definitely. And I love the reframe of getting creative versus like sacrifice, because I think it's the words we choose to that really can navigate our perception of the world and how we can navigate it. So I'm so glad you did that just now, because it's real life. It's what people go through, and it's just acknowledging that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting because I mean, and then she just said, well, I didn't really mean sacrificing. You know what I mean? I was like, well, don't say that. Nah. We have a funny relationship. But anyway, so I even thought at the time though, like this doesn't feel like sacrifice to me. You know, I'm still eating, I'm still getting fed. And you know, it's just, it's creative and it's different. And I think that sometimes as well, I mean, I'm like totally taking over. I'm going to like switch back to hearing your perspective, but it's just inspiring a conversation within my mind as well, I guess. But it's like, oh, I don't even remember what I was going to say now. Whatever. Okay. So I'll get back to it if it comes. But so talk to me a little bit about this, like, because I think like what one of the things that we talked about previously that we wanted to talk about on this episode was like boundaries and self-love. Like how do you start to put that in place? Because I do think that the way that we often are conditioned in society is that things do have to come before our own needs in order for us to be of service or to be able to help other people, that it needs to come at sacrifice to something in our lives, right? And most of the time that's ourselves. So talk to me about that. Like, how do we navigate like shifting our perception and starting to like have firmer boundaries or look at things differently and see how we can actually benefit in all areas?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because I think too, it's boundaries are always evolving and shifting depending on the relationship that you're trying to navigate, whether it's motherhood, whether it's family relationships, your business, your clients. It really comes down to our priorities and in that time frame and our phase of life. So right now you're in a very different phase having a newborn at home versus maybe like a year or two ago. Oh, yeah. And it's, your priorities have changed and shifted, but I think it's, okay, well, what are your priorities? So for me, like what I embody with myself and my clients is my health, because if I don't have that, can't do anything. Then it comes to my relationships, nourishing those, and as well as my business. Those are my top three. So every day I'm doing something little for each of those, or big. It depends on what's going on in that time. And it's really focusing on the top three things every single day. it's those small steps, and with boundaries and being able to navigate them, I think it's taking the step back and maybe right now, like, you're spending more family time because of quarantine and everything that's been going on. You're spending more time at home versus maybe if you were out and about. So you're having more of that quality relationship time versus maybe getting outside, because you can't get outside depending on where you are in the world.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge part of it, just being able to prioritize and evolving with your boundaries.
Yeah. So definitely knowing, like, for those of you listening, like, really getting clear on what your main priorities are and what you want them to be as well. Because sometimes I think it's like what we want our priority to be, but what we've been acting out in our life are different things, you know? So sometimes we have to be like, no, I want this to be a priority, and then start acting on that and making it a priority. But I also would love, like, I'm just curious on your definition of what a boundary really is and how do we put boundaries in place?
Yeah. I think to speak to what you were saying, with when we want something, it might not at that moment, like, be tangible, or we're like, oh, like, for instance, losing weight, that's an easy one people can, like, see right away. You have a boundary of, okay, every day I'm going to go walk for 30 minutes. Well, a client calls and things shift, or you have an unexpected situation at home that you have to deal with. How can you shift that? Okay, well, maybe it's I do like 20 squats and like 10 push-ups and I'm doing some form of exercise. It's morphing that boundary to still follow through with what you want. And I think it's being very intentional. So, like, for me, meditating, I mentioned earlier, is a big part of my, like, every day. And I think when we're intentional, it's not putting guilt on ourselves if we don't do it either. I think it's having that balance within yourself of, okay, well, I did 3 out of 5 days working out. Okay. That's better than 0 out of 5. Mm-hmm. So it's having a little bit more compassion for yourself too.
And I'm just going to say that word.
We're on the same page. For sure.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it as well. Compassion, it looks different for everyone. And that's the thing. It's really maybe even writing down a list of, like, what are your priorities and how can you achieve that this week? And life is always going to happen and there's different situations. That's one thing. It's the flexibility, like being able to acknowledge what you need to do, but also being flexible in that and making those conscious decisions to obtain that.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And I think it's important to have that flexibility and that self-compassion, but I'd be really interested to hear your perspective on, you know how, like, sometimes we talk about, like, setting boundaries. So it's like a boundary for me that I won't work after 5 because that's my family time or whatever. And I mean, of course, sometimes there's things happen where we need to, like, have the compassion and bend the boundary a little bit. But what about when we're allowing people to trample over our boundaries? So it's like we have boundaries, but we're not necessarily, they're not like adding any value to our life because we're consistently letting people push past those boundaries, from whether it's how a boundary of how we choose to be treated. You know, like, we have sometimes relationships in our life where we're like, oh, I'm not going to do that again for that person. And the next thing you know, you're just like, why, how did I end up here again? They just, like, push past that boundary, or with clients, or, you know, anything like that.
I love that question, because I think our personal boundaries, it's so easy to, like, especially if it's somebody we love and care about and we really just give them the world, but we have to give ourselves that first. It's being able to protect our personal boundaries, so not losing our sense of worth. And, like, we tend to maybe sometimes rely on that, like, with having, you're the helper, the giver, and that's how people know you as. And, like, what you're saying, okay, after 5, I don't work. That's a perfect example of, okay, well, after 5, I can't take this client call. Like, let's move that to tomorrow. Or it's knowing that, especially when you're running a business, it's constant. There's always going to be things that we have to do. Like, it's nonstop. But it's really having that cutoff for yourself. But when it comes back to, like, the personal boundaries, it's not allowing your boundaries to be violated. So it's stating, like, what the other person's needs are. Like, when you're giving to them, it's saying they're more important than your own boundaries. So it's taking that and understanding, okay, well, what is important in this moment? Can this wait till tomorrow? Can this wait till next week? Does it need to be, if it's an emergency, it's an emergency. But emergencies aren't happening every single day. Like, it's kind of taking that step back or understanding, I call them, like, energy vampires sometimes, where they're taking so much of your time and energy that you have to realize, okay, no, this is not okay. I'm not honoring myself. I'm not respecting my own boundaries, where people are starting to trample over that, or you're just being more passive versus being direct and communicating, saying, I would love to help you, but right now I'm unable to be there for you. Can we do this another time? So having those direct statements, I think too, are really powerful.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think this is like what's this is bringing up for me is like how sometimes we get a little bit of a savior complex. You know, we think that we're the only person that can help that person and we have to, otherwise they're screwed. And I think this like especially happens sometimes with personal relationships, but honestly, I see this even happening in like the coaching industry and a lot of like where we're in service to help people, healers, you know, like all that kind of stuff, because we're like, but they need me, you know, and we also get a little bit of an ego kick. We're like, I'm needed and wanted and loved, and this person would not survive without me. And I mean, although that's so well-intentioned, like that's intended from the best place, I literally had to learn this the hard way, that sometimes we're actually taking people's power away when we do that, right? And it's like a little bit of a wake-up call that we can actually disempower people by being there for every single call, right? And I mean, I'm not talking about everyone in our lives. Like obviously my newborn, I'm going to feed if he's hungry. I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about particular circumstances, but it's like, you'll notice a pattern, you know, it's just like, again, really? Like, and then that's when we really have to have a little bit of like a tough self-talk and be like, girlfriend, like you, that you're just, are you trying to be a savior right now? Like they don't need you. They're an empowered human being. They have a soul guiding them just like you. Like maybe they need to figure out it out on their own this time.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny you bring that up. Well, not funny, but I think it really makes sense to me, especially when I started off as a therapist. Like I was always the friend people went to, like when there was ever an issue or anything along those lines. And as a therapist, you have to really learn on a clinical level, because then it's like dual relationships and it could get like kind of sticky.
Of course.
But I think, but for me, I had to learn the hard way too, where I did get taken advantage of time and time again. And it did disempower me, because people were like trying to overstep, or I was always giving, because I felt like the people pleaser in me. I've talked about this before. It's like a recovering people pleaser, because I wanted to please everyone and make sure I was there for everyone. And as coaches and just in the entrepreneur world, we want to like save everybody and help everybody, but we can't. We have to focus on ourselves first so we can do that for them. But The biggest thing that I've noticed too is, going back to our own needs and like not accommodating everybody, like what you're speaking to of being there for everyone at every moment, that can get really difficult for everybody. And it becomes hard for them then to identify situations where they could stand up for themselves and empower and be in their element and their light and have that empowering confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's incredibly important to learn. And for myself, like I said, had learned that the hard way. Like when I was in previous entrepreneurial journeys, like I remember when I was doing network marketing, I was like, you know, I made the commitment to people when they wanted to work with me, I'd be like, I'm going to be there for you no matter what. I'm going to always support you. Like, you know, and it was because I just like loved them so much and I wanted them to be so successful and I saw it for them, even if they didn't see it for themselves. And then what ended up happening is I literally would like be there for everything that they literally couldn't do anything on their own, which meant that they never really fully stepped into their own leadership. And when that hit me, that's kind of like how I'd been disempowering them and taking their power away, I was just like, shit. And it's like, I like literally cried about it, because I was just like, I just wanted to help them. And then, you know, through that business, and then as I evolved and started my coaching business and stuff, like I realized that the firmer I'm centered in really who I am and what I'm available for and how I can really help people, like really understanding that part of my power is being able to let people stand in their own, you know, part of my power is being able to activate them. Part of my power is living my life so aligned with what feels good for me that it inspires other people, you know, like that is incredibly powerful as well. And so it's like interesting, because yeah, I just am realizing as we're speaking now, it's like things like the times that I take client calls is so specific and I don't been that, you know, if I, like, I mean, sometimes I do take calls outside of my booking hours, but it's always only if that feels good for me. Like, I do a check-in, does this feel good or no, you know? And anyway, side tangent, but I think it's like, that is a really important aspect of boundaries, is like, one, having the boundaries, two, maintaining the boundaries where possible and having compassion, like you shared. And then three, also realizing that you're sometimes helping people more by not pushing your own boundaries.
Exactly. And, you know, it's taking that action too, to just being more aware of when it is okay to like bend the boundaries or evolve the boundaries versus like, I don't think they need to be set in stone. This is how it is. Because then it becomes rigid and it's uncomfortable, because I think especially in the beginning when you are starting to set really strong boundaries, it's this unpleasant feeling because you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, yeah. Them, and it's like, well, no, you need to, it's okay. Like,
yeah, I
think it's stepping into that power, because you're, as soon as you, every time we up level in life, it's that uncomfortable feeling. We're stepping outside of our comfort zone, and it's to own that and know, like, if it is scary, that means you're doing the right thing, like, for you. And I think it can be beautiful. It's uncomfortable, but beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that discomfort. That's like with everything with growth, though. It's like so uncomfortable, and then suddenly you're like, oh, this is why I do it. Oh, okay.
You can look back and be like, wow, like, I've progressed so much. And that's something I see with my clients all the time, is it, they don't want to set the boundary, or they, like, a lot of them happen to be recovering people pleasers.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. But it's like, goes back to like what we were talking about in the beginning, like having it all, balancing it all. And I think a big part of that is some people have a hard time saying no.
Mm-hmm.
That it might be an opportunity. So boundaries, it might not just be with our relationships, but it can be with work too. Like, because there's an opportunity to do like a summit or a podcast, or like you have five different things happening in that like hour. You can't do it all. Mm-hmm. You have to like pick and choose. And that goes back to your priorities of, okay, is this going to move me forward? Is this something that's helping the greater good? Is this something that I really align with and it feels good?
Yeah. I think I love that, those kind of like guidance questions, because, you know, is this something that aligns with where I want to go? And does this feel good? Because I think sometimes as well, like you said, boundaries evolve, and like the things that are good for us evolve as well. And things can feel good for a time and then suddenly not feel good anymore as well. And we have to know how to navigate that as well. Like, an example is when I first started my podcast, I loved everything about it. Like, I would just like sit there with like the biggest smile on my face, editing all my episodes, creating the media, like doing the interviews, like every single aspect of my podcast I loved. And then what I started to notice after about a year and a half, I started feeling so exhausted when it came time to upload my episodes. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I love my podcast, but I feel such resistance to it. Like, I was just like, oh my God, you know? And what I realized is like, I did like a self-check-in, and I was like, what feels important for me? What do I love about my podcast? And I realized that I love interviewing, but I no longer love the back end, right? I did not love like having to sit there editing the episodes and creating the media and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, okay, well, the solution is I need to hire someone now, right? And that's when Mary, if you're listening, I love you. I hired my VA and she does that for me now. And it's just like, and then that's when the life came back for me with my podcast. I was like, oh, it feels amazing again, you know? And so it's like how we feel about things. It doesn't always mean, like, it didn't mean for me that I should stop my podcast, because that didn't feel like the right thing, but it meant I needed to navigate it and shift how I was running my podcast.
Exactly. And with that too, I was just, as you were talking, mm-hmm. like delegating is such an important mm-hmm. aspect of business, especially when you have a family, you have a newborn, you have family obligations, you have your friends, your social life, everything along with that. But when you take that step back and look at it of, okay, well, what can be outsourced? And you did exactly that. Like, so that is a beautiful example. So I'm appreciative of you saying that, because I think that's how it was for me too. It's like, I want to do everything and I can't. So like a lot of the learning experiences along the way have led me to this, because I have like four pillars within my business, but like boundaries and self-love really come down to everything, because that's how you can create balance. That's how you can nurture your relationships. That's how you can feel less guilt of like saying yes or saying no to things. And I think for all the ambitious entrepreneurs that are listening, it really comes to what makes sense, what feels good, what feels right, and honoring that and respecting it yourself.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, I love that. And that's the perfect sum up as we start to wrap up. Where can people connect with you if they're wanting to like either learn more about what you do or just like be in your vibe and hang out with you?
Yeah, I'm usually always on Instagram. So it's just Dr. Caroline Iskovitz, all one word. And yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
Amazing. I love it. Well, that's all linked in the show notes, of course, for everyone who missed that. And if you really enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you take a screenshot and upload it to your Instagram story. Tag me at Viola Hug and Carolyn as well. Caroline. Oh my gosh, sorry.
It's okay. It happens all the time.
I like a previous mentor of mine, her name's Carolyn, and she would like be so salty when people called her Caroline.
I get it. I usually get Carolina. I get a lot.
Yeah, she would get that too. Sorry. I'm Caroline. Please tag us, upload it. Let us know what your favorite part of the episode was. It'd be so cool to hear from you and that you're listening. And especially if this is your first ever episode, welcome to the Abundant Babes podcast. Caroline, thank you for being so awesome and sharing this with us. I think it's such an important conversation in personal life, but as well the entrepreneurial world. So I really appreciate your perspective.
So much for having me. I'm so honored to be able to be a part of your community now and just being able to really have that back and forth with you and learning more about you. So I appreciate you for having me on, and thank you.
Oh my gosh, you are so, so welcome. And to everyone listening, thank you. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Abundant Babes podcast. Bye-bye.